I started drinking at a young age. Drinking took me to do a lot of bad things, which I regret. Sometimes when I think about those times and look back, it really hurts a lot.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
Hello, good evening to everybody. It's evening time right now here, Don. I'm from Isleta Pueblo. My name is Michael Lenti. Isleta Pueblo is just south of Albuquerque, approximately 20 miles, I guess. But it's one of the 19 Pueblos in New Mexico. Isleta, Sandia, Santo Domingo, and so forth. I lived in Isleta all my life. I was born and raised in Isleta. I grew up in Isleta. My family's from Isleta, friends. My parents raised us and loved us and cared for us. I was raised by a wonderful, beautiful mom. Her name is Prudence. And she loved us and cared for us and took care of us. And whatever we needed, she would always provide for us. She was such a beautiful lady. She's tiny, always singing, always happy, always cooking for us, making us fresh tortillas, fried potatoes, beans, chili, red or green. Those were good times when we were growing up. I had two brothers, three sisters, and we all played a part in growing up because we all had chores to do. We had gardens to grow during the summer, and we used to take care of in the gardens. We had chickens, rabbits, horses, cows, pigs, just all kinds of animals that we would raise, and that was just a part of our life. We raised a lot of alfalfa, and we traded with a lot of other pueblos. My mother loved trading with other pueblos because if they couldn't pay us with money, she'd get a lot of pottery or jewelry, or she'd meet a lot of people from Santo Domingo, from Acoma, from Laguna, Santa Clara, just all the different pueblos would come down and trade with my dad. Those were good times, though. The bad times, when we were growing up, my dad was, he's a good, strong man growing up. But he was alcoholic. He wasn't abusive. He just loved to drink. Some of our favorite times, though, were when he would pull us out of school and we would go deer hunting every year, and he would take us out of school half a day on Fridays, and we'd all go hunting with all our cousins, uncles, grandfathers. All of us would just gather to pick up trucks and our bedding and our food and everything they needed to camp out for, sometimes for a week at a time. Those are good times, though, that I remember. But then at the same time, I remember looking at all my relatives. They would sit at the campfire singing all night long, but then there was always the drinking that took place. And so as I got older, that was a part of my life, was the drinking. Well, I started drinking at a young age. Drinking took me to do a lot of bad things, which I regret. Sometimes when I think about those times and look back, it really hurts a lot. Anyways, my dad was a strong man. He was a Marine, and he lived being a Marine. He worked hard, and he was a Marine. He was during the Korean conflict, and then my older brother was a Marine after my father's footsteps, and I wanted to go into the Marine Corps too, but they wouldn't take me right out of high school only because of my health. That's when I discovered that my blood pressure was really high, and the recruiter would take me to the doctors at Indian Health Services, and they checked me, and they finally said, no, sorry. None of the branches will take you because of your health. So I stayed here. That's when I started drinking a lot more and in and out of relationships. And those were not good times. I probably wrecked about 2 or 3 vehicles. I shouldn't be here right now. Shouldn't even be sharing right now because those accidents were vehicles being totaled. And I look back and it's like, man, how did I ever get through this? But I did. So I kept on going until I got older and I started working construction as a house painter on the west side in Albuquerque where it was really booming. New housing, people moving in from other states. I worked hard and I was young and was able to do a lot of things physically that really taught me to be responsible. And I got that from my dad. He worked hard. So he always would tell us that if you work for someone, you make sure you do a good job and not only a good job, but that you do the best that you can. And you work hard. And because I remember when we were growing up, our father used to make us clean ditches for a lot of the elderly, even though we didn't have to. And we wouldn't even ask about, well, are we going to get paid for it? We just did it because we were told to do it and out of respect for our father. And the elders here in the Pueblo, we did it and we worked hard. So my work ethic was I worked hard. I see myself working 2 jobs just to support my life and my drinking habit, but that wasn't good. I got older and I went in and out of relationships and I was very, very lonely. I knew what I was doing, but at the same time, I really didn't care because I would like to go to nightclubs and play pool and drink and play pool and drink. So finally, it's like, wow, I'm still living and I'm still around. And what's next? My mom was such a loving person because she introduced me to Christ. And she always would pray for us and always would care for us. And I found myself searching when I was my early teens, 20s probably, searching, and I would pull out our Catholic Bible, which is a huge, huge book. And I started to read it and look at the pictures and I started searching. And then after that, it was like, it went away. And then until finally, my sister introduced me to a young, beautiful lady that just really couldn't believe that she actually wanted to go on a date with me. At that time, I was working 2 jobs. At the time, I was working for the New Mexico State Fair Police, and I was working at the state fairgrounds, and my dad and I were working. I got introduced to that job through my father. He was a New Mexico State Fair Police officer. Anyways, I started working with him at the Indian Village. At the New Mexico State Fair, every year we work, every year in the Indian Village. Anyways, my sister introduced me to a young, beautiful Navajo lady, and I actually asked her out for a date, and I actually thought, well, forget it. This girl won't go out with me, because I looked at my life, and I looked at me, and it's like, I always came down to myself, like, why would she want to go out with me? But she did. She tried to impress her every way that I could, driving her through the fairgrounds back in the days. I could drive in just about anywhere I wanted to on the fairgrounds, except through the midway because of all the stuff there, you know. But yeah, I could just drive just about anywhere I wanted. But so we drove around and we talked, and I asked her out again, and she actually wanted to go out with me, and that I didn't understand why, but. So we went on and more and more dates, and unfortunately, we started living together, and that wasn't good. That wasn't the right way to go, but We did. We lived together. And then she, with our second daughter, she got pregnant with our second daughter, Misha, and first daughter is Jennifer, our oldest. Then came Misha. And after that, I asked her to marry me, and she actually said yes. It's like, honestly, it was, couldn't believe it, but I was so very, very, very happy. But yet along with that, I just carried my alcohol into our marriage, my thirst for alcohol. There was a point in time in our marriage where I tried on my own strength to stop drinking, and it worked for a little while until I was being abusive to her with, because of the alcohol and my stupidity and the things that I was doing. Well, it wasn't right what I did to my wife, but she still stayed with me. And I remember she was invited to go to church with her sister, I believe. And there was a new church that started in Albuquerque. And the pastor there was a young California guy from, his name's Skip. But I would drop her off. I thought I was dropping her off at a cult. But yet I was, when she wasn't in the vehicle, I would listen to her praise music. But I would put on a front though when she was with me and with her praise music. I would tell her, turn that stuff off. I don't like it. But when she wasn't with me, I would listen to it, especially in the middle of the night when I would be coming from my second job at the fairgrounds. I would listen to her music. And that really just spoke to my heart. It was the music part of it spoke to my heart. And then she herself, her lifestyle, just the woman that she was turning to be, I just couldn't understand. But, oh, well, I mean, this is eventually going to go away anyway, you know, but it didn't. And I started to become more abusive and more verbally abusive. And even at the times, I regret it, but I physically abused my wife. And it wasn't right. It wasn't right for me to do that. I definitely knew that her life was changed. And I definitely knew because she made it clear that she was going to follow God. And she was going to stick it out in our marriage, and that it was God's will that she stayed married to me, and that's what she was going to do. And anyway, I was working my regular job, and I came home from work, and my family wasn't here. My kids weren't here. My wife wasn't here. And I didn't really know what was going on, but I left for my second job. That night, there was a rock concert at Tune Coliseum that I was working at. That night, I got totally wasted with some friends afterwards. I mean, I got so wasted that, I mean, it wasn't good. I came home, and my wife was gone. She wasn't there. Gone with our little ones, and our son was born at the time too, and he was only weeks old. Michael Jr. I named him. I came home and my wife was gone and my family wasn't there. And I laid there in my bed and I said to myself, what am I doing to my life? What am I doing? So at the time, just figured out where they were at. They were at our friends, our close friends that are close friends now. At the time, they weren't my close friend. They were her close friends. I called looking for my wife, and our friend Jesse, who led me to the Lord, who pointed me to Christ. We went back and forth and had long conversations, and he shared with me how much God loved me and cared for me. And that's when I reached out, and I was angry, but my anger turned and my bitterness, and he took me away from that by the things that he shared with me about how much God loves me and cares for me. That just really spoke to my heart. And I cried out to God when I was in bed, and I couldn't even get up to go to my regular job to work because I was so sick and broken inside from what drinking did to me the night before. So I cried out to God, and when I gave my life to Christ over the phone, and he told me where they lived, and I went to their house, and even when I got there, Jesse was sharing with me and how much God loved me and how much he cared for me, and now I belong to him, and I'm a child that you're one of his children, and you belong to God now. And he called Leanne, and she came in, and we both started crying. She came home with me. Immediately, I started in fellowship into small groups, which she was attending, a small group fellowship. And there were such so loving, caring people that were there. The first thing God did in my life was he healed me from alcohol, from being a drunkard, which the Bible calls an alcoholic, you're a drunkard. And second thing was my mouth, the words that were coming out of my mouth. But it was because of the woman that God gave me to be my wife. And it took a few years, but she hung tough. There were some really bad times, and she stayed with me, and she loved me, and she cared for me, and took care of our children. And it took time. I mean, with me, once I realized my life without Christ and what I was doing to our family, that just automatically changed. I knew that God came into my life and just took all the dirt out of my life and all the filth out of my life. And there was a lot of it. It was because of the woman that God gave me. And I didn't look to her, but I looked to God working through her and using her for my eyes to be open to really see who he really was, is. He is our Father in heaven. He's told Moses, just tell him that the I Am sent you when he's going to confront Pharaoh to take the children out of Israel. I am that I am. So I believe God is who he says he is. He's sovereign, he's just, he's loving, he's caring, he's all I need, all in all. And he gives us his word to live by, and it's so refreshing, so new, especially when you dig into it and you study and read, and he just speaks to your heart through his word and speaks to my heart through his word. So I'm in my 39th year now with coming to my relationship with my Father in heaven. It's so beautiful, so awesome. My family, my dad, died from alcoholism, but he bled to death at the hospital. I was the last person there. But before he died, he asked Christ into his heart. Now I will see him in heaven. Heaven. And then my mother got sick in her 80s, and I stayed with her at night for about 3 years. She just lives right down the road from where I live. Such a beautiful lady. I was able to spend a lot of time with my mom. And I know my mom's rejoicing in heaven with the Lord also. She was such a sweet lady. I remember every morning when I would go to work, she'd always be looking out her window to see if I'd come by, and because she would be making tortillas early in the morning. And I knew what she wanted. She wanted just to visit, and she wanted to make me a breakfast burrito to take to work. But I'd stop by and before I went to work and visit with my mom. And anyways, my mom got in her 80s, late 80s. I stayed with her. Then she started to have Alzheimer's and dementias. I remember staying with my mom at night, and every night she'd pack a few things, clothing, a little bundle, and I'd go and say, "Mom, how are you doing? It's time to go to bed." And she'd look at me and she'd tell me, Are we going? Are we moving? Are we going? I said, "No, Mom, this is your house. We're staying here. I'm here. Mom, just go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep. Aren't we going to be moving?" Eventually, we had to put her in a nursing home. But I remember going to see my mom towards the last every evening. My mom was such a tiny lady, I could pick her up out of her bed and put her in a wheelchair and sitting there feeding her, and she'd look at me like she knew I was there for a reason, but she didn't know who I was. We'd sit outside in the evenings and she'd just be staring up into the sky and looking at me, and I'd just talk to my mom about everything and anything, and she'd just look at me, and sometimes she would say something, you know, sky or blue sky or, but she really didn't know what was going on. But my mother passed away too. My older brother too, he died from alcoholism. And my older brother too, I share with him a lot, and he would always get angry with me. And him, before he died, he gave his life to the Lord too. And I'm just so thankful that God did those things for my family. I'm so thankful that God healed my marriage, and we just celebrated our 43rd anniversary in March. God has just put our life together with our children that are grown now and our grandchildren, all 12 of them. We're so blessed. Now we're able to work through any differences or any difficulties through prayer and through what the Word of God tells us that we need to do. And that's such a blessing. And I'm blessed to have a woman that loves God and reaches out to Him and seeks Him through His Word and calls out to Him through prayer. And she prays, we pray together. And that's a nightly thing. And we pray for our children daily and nightly, and we're always praying. And that's just God putting it all together, our family together, our lives together. And I'm so blessed to be called His son. And I can reach out to God and call Him my Father in heaven. Anytime, any place, any hour, any day, I can just call out to Him and He's there for me. And He speaks to me through His Word. But it's been a long road. Now I'm in my 60s. I'll be 68. And I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 5-6 years ago. But I thank God because I'm still able to move my body. And God reminds me of His suffering. Every time my body starts to ache and be painful, I'm reminded of Christ's suffering for me on the cross. And that just draws me even closer to Him. Jesus came because we're lost. I was lost in my alcohol. I was lost in relationships. And I had no way. And God made the way through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to die for me, for us, for our sins, willingly. A death for us, for me, for you. He loves you. But He didn't create robots. You have a free will and you have a choice. You can either say yes to Christ or you can say no to Him. He's not going to force Himself on you. But He's reaching out. He's there. He's alive. He's reaching out to you and He loves you.
It's true. That's how much you mean to God. He sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty you deserve, that I deserve, so that we could be forgiven and live with Him forever. What kind of love would do this? only the love of God. Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Listen, my friend, Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that you could be saved. Have you ever given someone you love a gift that costs you dearly? And can you imagine the dishonor it would be if they rejected it? Don't do that to your Creator. He is offering you a gift that he paid for with the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the only way that our sin debt could be fully paid, but he was willing because he's not only a righteous judge, but a God of mercy and love. We read in the Bible, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's what it took to save you. What are you going to do with Jesus? Interested? We encourage you to pick up a Bible and read the Gospel of John. We hope this story has been an encouragement to you, or perhaps it's raised some questions in your mind. We invite you to visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.